Thank you, Eileen. Could you play that again? Now, I know you weren't expecting that, but let's just be quiet and listen to the music. If you know the words, great, they can go through your mind. But let's just be quiet before the Lord and listen. Thank you. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for the gift of music. We thank you and praise you that we can come into your presence and sing your praises and worship you this morning. Not because we're better than anybody else, but because you love us and you desire to hear our praises and our love to you. So we thank you for this morning, Lord. We thank you for every opportunity that we have of praising your name, because you are Almighty God. Thank you, Father. I've a few notices, but I've got to give one first, apparently. Thank you for everyone that prayed for Messy Church yesterday. It was great. We had a fantastic time, and I have to say, I was just sat in a corner praying with others, and that was such a privilege. Prayer is important for the work of the kingdom. And it was a great joy to see these dear children. So even if you can't come, please pray at home. Please lift these young children before the Lord, that he may touch them. And again, just thank you for coming. Let me see those smiley faces. That's a smashing smiley face over there. I like smiley faces. See, you've all changed. Suddenly your face has changed. I was talking to someone this morning, and she had a similar experience to me going to the hospital for something. And this particular consultant, who is excellent, I have to say, but when you first approach her, she's very stern. But if you can make her smile, for some reason, her whole demeanour changes, and you're no different. A smile can draw somebody to Jesus.
Amen.
A smile. Wonderful, isn't it? Stephen notices. Sorry, I got carried away again.
No, feel free. Cecilia, you know, I'm very happy for you to get carried away. It does us all good. Two opportunities to worship. I'm going to tell you about one. Mark is going to tell you about the other. This coming Wednesday is Wednesday worship, once a month, normally the fourth Wednesday of the month. Not always, but usually then. We meet from 7:30, a time to seek the Lord, enjoy his presence, worship him in spirit and truth. Normally for about an hour, and it's just a beautiful time of being in his presence. And that this week, that's going to be preparation for what's happening on Saturday.
Morning. If you read the Psalms, you constantly come across David saying, "Praise the Lord," don't you? But it's not just David. Paul, writing to the Ephesians, says, "Address one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart." Well, it's your chance to do that on Saturday evening. So churches across the bay have been invited here on Saturday evening, 7 o'clock, for a worship space, as it's called. Some of you might have been to previous ones. It'll be a great opportunity just to give God glory for who he is, across all forms of praise, whether it's psalms, whether it's prayers, whether it's singing. But it's about giving God what he desires most, which is glory. So put aside your worship style preferences and come on that principle alone. We're going to glorify God together. So there'll be three separate worship bands that are leading us. You can come for some of the evening or all of it. Might feel a bit of a marathon after just 1 hour on Wednesday night. But it's a 3-hour open time here. So come along for all or part. It'd be great to see you. If anybody can help with sort of stewarding and welcoming, then see me afterwards. It'd be great to have a few folks to do that as well. But bring your best voices.
Thank you. And sound and visuals, we could probably do some help as well. If anybody can help with that, that would be lovely. And then lastly, we have a special notice, which is coming up with a video that's going to come up.
So Try Praying is a prayer guide, a simple prayer guide for people who are not religious and don't do church. 7 days, and it's got stories of answered prayer. It's got things they can do. They can pray about their own big issue. And crucially, it helps a person to begin to trust Christ with their lives.
The idea of the Try Praying booklet is to use it and to lose it. It's a 7-day prayer guide that's for people within church and for people without, for people who believe in God and for people who don't. Use it yourself first to become familiar with it, and then look for that God-given opportunity to pass it on to someone. That can be a friend, a neighbour, or even someone that you just bump into, so that you can say, "Try praying for a week and see what happens." You never know what could happen as a result.
So Try Praying is three things. It's a booklet to give away, it's a project for a church, and it's a multi-church project for a town or a city. The booklet to give away, sharing with friends and relatives, It's a project for a church with this use it, lose it idea. And it's a multi-church project when it goes into the public space and people see it and start asking questions, what's this all about?
Praying sign. Have you anybody seen that on the side of a bus or some? Oh, good, it's a good number. In the next 3 or 4 weeks, there's going to be lots of these banners appearing on the sides of buses or other public places. And it is a very simple idea. Take a booklet. There's some out there today if you'd like to take one. We have one for adults, we have one for young children. We're on slightly older children, teenagers, years 6, 7, and so on. Do take one and use it for 7 days and then give it away. We've already been doing that. But one of the key things is this giving it away. I gave it to somebody on Friday. Samu came in from Afghanistan, came into to our coffee morning looking for the conversation group. And we had a chat and so on. I gave him one of these. I said, after 7 days, give it away. Now, you might think, why is that so significant? That person then becomes part of the message. Oh, you mean I've got a role to play? It's not just donning something out, read it, and then put it and eventually bin it. No, this is for you to receive and give. It's a very simple idea. So please make the most of it over the next 4 weeks. And for anybody who has never tried praying, this is obviously the time to do it. Try praying.
Thank you. Let's come before the Lord in prayer before we worship. Father, we thank you again for your love. We thank you again, Father, that you hear our prayers, you hear our cries. And Father, we thank you that you are the living God. And as we come in praise and worship to you this morning, we pray that it may be acceptable in your sight. And thank you, Lord, for every opportunity we have of praising you. Thank you, Father God. Amen. Amen. Our first song is In Christ Alone, My Hope Is Found. Stand or sit, whichever is more comfortable for you to do. Thank you. Amen. Would you like to sit down? Thank you. Part of our love for the Lord is the offering. And the purpose of the offering is to bring the good news of Jesus to men, women, and boys and girls here, but in other places as well. And God wants to bless his church. And he's not there with a little bag going, give it me now. No. He says, out of your heart comes rejoicing over giving. So please don't feel that you have to give. But if you desire to give this morning, then God will say thank you. Just like we do. Did you realize that? He says thank you. And we forget that sometimes. So as we bring our offerings to the Lord, please remember, yes, you're giving to a church here and different organizations that we support, but you're giving back to God what he has given to you. His love for you. And we can respond in the giving. So would the stewards please wait upon us? Thank you so much. Father, we thank you for your bountiful love for us. We thank you for all that you give us. And we pray, Father God, as we've given you a portion back, that you will bless it abundantly to the saving of souls. Amen. Thank you. Stephen. I'm going to pray for Stephen, it's all right. He wasn't quite sure. Father, we just thank you and praise you for our Pastor Stephen, and we just pray this morning, Lord, that you will fill him with your Holy Spirit, and as he brings that word, Lord, give us ears to hear, minds to understand, and hearts to receive. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Right. Children. You see children over there? I'm just going to bring this box down to you. Oh, yeah. Oh, good. Excellent. Right. Just put this in. Children. So I can see. Lex over here and you're over here. Paul writes to the church in Corinth, which we're going to hear in a moment. Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. As we live our lives every day, whose example are we following? So I'm looking at the guys here. Who are you looking at and thinking, I could follow them, or I'm definitely not going to be like them? Who is there that you see that you think, yes, they're a good example to me? Now, this is a tricky question. Yes, yes.
My parents.
Your parents. Can you tell us your parents' names? What's their names? Mum and Dad. That'll do. That'll absolutely do. So, Mum and Dad are examples. How about you, Sam? Have you got any ideas? Who do you look at and think, I want to be like them, or I can learn from them? Have you got anybody? You've got one, yes.
God.
You learn from God? And what do you learn from him? What sort of things do you learn from
him? That he's kind.
He's kind. That's interesting. How about you, Sam?
You.
You. Me. Oh. Oh, that's embarrassing. Thank you, Zeb. You just warmed my heart. The girls in the Girls' Brigade, we were looking at the story of the Good Samaritan. And I asked them before, what is there that you know about God? What do you learn about God? And someone said, he's kind. And that's what you just said, wasn't it? God is kind. Isn't that interesting? God is kind. And then we looked at the story of the Good Samaritan. And we learned how somebody had been kind. And we thought, yes, that's an example to follow. So, with these sheets here, my wife Leslie has drawn a line across the middle. And it could be that way up or that way up. If you would like to do a drawing or a writing activity, what I'd like to do is one half of the sheet, show Jesus, God, your parents, or somebody doing something good. And then I want you to put on the other half yourself doing the same thing. It might be something that's actually happened, or it might be something you think, that's what I'm going to do. So the top half is somebody else, mum, dad, God, friend of yours, doing something good. It could be helping someone, praying, whatever it might be. But the other half, put yourself in the picture. Now that's quite a tricky thing, but I reckon you can do that. The sheets are all here, and the packs are all here. And I'll bring one over here. Jamie, just if Lexi wants it. There. Great. So they're all here, and I'll leave them there for you to choose. And it's a bit a tricky one this time, but I think you can do it. So, the Bible gives us pictures and stories to help us live as God wants us to. And that story of the Good Samaritan was one of them. In our Bible reading today, Paul uses pictures and stories from about 1,500 years earlier to teach the church members in Corinth how to live a life pleasing to God. Andrew.
The reading is from the first letter of Paul to the Corinthians. You'll find it on page 1151, and we're starting at the beginning of chapter 10. I do not want you to be ignorant of the fact, brothers and sisters, that our ancestors were all under the cloud, and that they all passed through the sea. They were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. They all ate the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the rock that accompanied them, and that rock was Christ. Nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them. Their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Now these things occurred as examples to keep us from setting our hearts on evil things as they did. Do not be idolaters, as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and got up to indulge in revelry. We should not commit sexual immorality, as some of them did, and in one day 23,000 of them died. We should not test Christ, as some of them did, and were killed by snakes. And do not grumble, as some of them did, and were killed by the destroying angel. These things happened to them as examples, and were written down as warnings for us, on whom the culmination of the ages has come. So, If you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it.
Thank you, Andrew. So, learning from the past. Paul is talking about a time when God's people, the Israelites, escaped from Egypt and were in the wilderness. They all had the same spiritual experiences. They were being baptized, immersed into Moses, the giving of the law. They were immersed in the cloud of God's presence. And they were immersed in the sea. They walked through the Red Sea. They walked across the riverbed with the water piled high on either side. All three pictures of baptism, being immersed in the giving of the law, the cloud, and the sea. They all ate and drank the same spiritual food and drink, which was Jesus. Looking back, we can see he was there, the spiritual rock that accompanied them. But there was a problem. They did not all obey God, live as he commanded them. In fact, the vast majority didn't obey him. There were over 600,000 men over 20 who left Egypt. Only two entered the promised land, Joshua and Caleb. All the others of that generation died in the desert before 70 years had passed after they'd left Egypt, and Joshua and Caleb led the Israelites, the children, the grandchildren, into the promised land. What went wrong? Well, we're told, and if you want to read the details of this, homework is Numbers, the book of Numbers. Now, there's some boring bits of Numbers, but even so, they're important because every individual is important. So those long lists of names are important because if your name was there, you'd look for it. So it is important. But the stories are there, and we haven't got time to go into all the stories today. So do read the book of Numbers for homework. It won't take you long. What went wrong? They worshipped other gods. The first thing that happened while Moses was on the top of the Mount Sinai receiving the law was that the Israelites decided to melt down the gold that they'd been given by the people in Egypt to get rid of them. Melt it down, make a golden calf, bow down before it and say the golden calf rescued us from Egypt. God was not happy about that, as you can imagine. That was the start. They then worshipped pagan gods, Baal. They engaged in pagan revelry, sexual immorality. Then they said to God, they tested God, and they said, why have you brought us out of Egypt to die in the desert? There's no bread, there's no water, and we detest this miserable food, the manna. And that's what they said. Can you believe it? And they received punishment. They grumbled against Moses and Aaron. You killed the Lord's people, they said. And so many of them died, just as we've heard. And none of them, apart from Joshua and Caleb, received God's promises. Paul tells the Corinthians that these things occurred as examples to keep us from setting our hearts on evil as they did. And as you've probably gathered today, we're thinking about the example that we're set. This is a lesson for us. We don't want to have to go through what they're going through, so let's learn the lesson. They were written down as a warning. Don't worship other gods. Don't commit sexual immorality. Don't test the Lord. grumble against his anointed leaders. Why? Because in the same way they fell, so can you. That's what Paul says to the church in Corinth, who thought they were really the bee's knees. They thought they were great. And Paul is saying, watch out. Don't think you're fine, because actually you'll get into trouble. Whenever you're tempted to do these things, God, who is always faithful, unlike us, will always provide a way out. That's what he's saying to the church in Corinth, and it's true for us. We face all sorts of temptations. Right at this moment, you are facing temptation. Some of you may have already switched off thinking, I don't want to hear any more of this because I don't like Stephen's preaching. Or I'm afraid I might get a bit challenged and I don't want challenging today. I want cozy, cozy, comfy today. Sorry, not what you're going to get. God is always faithful and he will provide a way out. Who could testify that they have suffered temptation and God has given them a way out? Have a look around. Almost everybody's put their hand up. Thank you very much for being honest. It is true. God always gives a way out. Some people kept their hands up longer. They've obviously had a lot more temptation. Sorry, I won't name them for the sake of the audio. They know who they are. God has given us a way out, but will we take it? We have to take it. He provides the way out. It does say in the Bible, by the way, it's always remind people of this, doesn't say resist temptation. What does it say? Pardon? Flee. Right, it says resist the enemy, yes. But flee temptation. You don't stand there all macho, I can cope with this. You run away from temptation. How many leaders of Christian organizations, churches, if they had run away from temptation, would not have committed adultery as they have? How many of us, if we had fled temptation, run out the bookshop, turn the computer off, that's fleeing, thinking, oh, I can cope with this. That's not fleeing. The church in Corinth needs to learn what happened from their forefathers, and so do we. Even though it's 3,500 years ago, we can still learn from it. But we can also learn from Paul's today. Now, Paul's today, 2,000 years ago, is the church in Corinth. And he's warned them using the past examples of temptation, failure, and judgment. But now he says, look around you. Right now, you are being tempted. You need to know what you need to do to live right, to cope with today's challenges. In Corinth and in the pagan world generally, there was a big issue about idol worship. If you were a Christian in this city, you would be surrounded by it. Much of the meat sold in the markets would have been offered to idols before it was sold to you, before you ate it. So what do you do about that? This is an everyday practical problem for the Christians there. Paul explains that Christians are free to eat anything sold in the meat market without raising questions of conscience, for the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. If it's just them involved, they can eat the meat, because idols are images of God that don't exist. And therefore, Christians who've been set free from the fear of idols and gods and the control of idol worship and gods, they could eat it. They're free. But if an unbeliever invites you to a meal and says to you, this has been offered in sacrifice, then do not eat it, both for the sake of the one who told you and for the sake of conscience. Their conscience. Now why? If Christians are free, why should they be constrained by the unbelievers in Corinth who are eating meat that's been sacrificed to idols and being proud of it. Because God wants us to seek the good of others and not just think of ourselves. If believers were to eat the meat that they've been told have been sacrificed to idols, this would give the unbelievers the idea that idolatry, worshipping false gods, was okay. And it's not. If the Christians ate the food, ate the meat, this would reinforce their belief that they need to offer sacrifices to false gods to help them, to protect them, to cope with life, rather than being saved by faith in Jesus alone. Paul's everyday actions are motivated by the desire to please God, to glorify God, and to save others. That's why he says, "You say, I have the right to do anything, but not everything is beneficial." You say, "I have the right to do anything." Yes, but not everything is constructive. No one should seek their own good, but the good of others. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Do not cause anyone to stumble, whether Jews, Greeks, or the church of God, even as I try to please everyone in every way. For I am not seeking my own good, but the good of many, so that they may be saved. Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. Those words are from later on in the same chapter and verse 1 of 11. Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. That's why the activity gave to the children. We're doing it that way. So what about us? What do we learn from idol worship and meat sacrificed to idols 2,000 years ago? In Paignton, we don't have too much of a problem with that, do we? Has anybody bought any meat recently that's been offered to an idol? I don't know, if you go to Totnes, maybe something strange might happen down there. But no, I mean, so what can we learn from what Paul is saying to the church in Corinth 2,000 years ago? In the ordinary decisions of everyday life, we need to do everything for the glory of God and to save others. If that means not having an alcoholic drink when we're with people who struggle with alcohol, then that's what we do. Our focus is not just to please ourselves with the great freedom we have in Christ, but we choose to please God by caring for others, by doing the best for others, to save others. What is our equivalent to meat sacrificed to idols, the evil that's all around us? Well, what is all around us? What is the evil we see all around us? It bings at you through your internet, on your phone. It's on the TV. It's there in the computer games that we're offered, or that we play. It's in all sorts of entertainment we participate in. Social media particularly. I was having a conversation earlier in the week about social media, and within a day, just what we've been talking about, appeared on the news. That half of 7-year-olds now have got smartphones. And they're all on TikTok and WhatsApp, which are for 13 plus. And what are they getting? They're completely surrounded. And one example, and I've had an interesting conversation earlier this week about this, because I'm mindful that these things are very real to us, and we're very much connected to these things. But I was thinking about Harry Potter. Everybody's into Harry Potter. My father used to say, "I don't care about anybody else, you're not doing it." And although he was a bit strict at times, he learned me a valuable lesson. 99 people can go that way, but I'll still go that way. Because that's how I was brought up. Everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial. When the Harry Potter books and the films first came out, there were lots of Christians who campaigned against them, trying to stop people watching the films. And I thought that was going a bit far, I must admit. I read the first couple of books and listened to an audio book or two, and so did our children. And I was drawn in because they're really good stories. They seem to be classic good versus evil. And there's plenty of those. But they then got darker and darker and darker. I didn't want to be absorbed, engaged into this world. And I stopped going any further. But looking back on it now, I realize although it was permissible for me as a believer in Christ to read these things, it wasn't beneficial. And I should have avoided them. Because they're about witchcraft and the occult. But not only is it just, it wasn't beneficial for me, what was the effect on other people of my participation, albeit very small? What was the effect on my children? What was the message that I was sending out? Witchcraft and the occult are okay. And they're not. So today, it's a challenge. Is reading this material bringing glory to God? Is it stopping or not helping people believe in Jesus? Dressing up for Harry Potter themed parties, entering into the Harry Potter experience, etc., etc., all seems great fun. But it gives an opportunity for the devil to gain a foothold in children and adults' lives. Because it sends a message that messing about with evil is harmless. And it isn't. Now, I've just picked out Harry Potter as an obvious example. But there are huge amounts of stuff going on. The video games, Grand Theft Auto, someone told me CS, I decided to stop watching that because it was about slicing people up. How did we get to a place where that's the boom industry in this country is computer games? You look at how many of them are violent. So, what can we do about today? God the Father, God the Son, sent the Holy Spirit to teach us in our today to know how to live in the everyday world, to please God, to bring glory to his name, to build up the church, and to help other people to be saved. The Holy Spirit makes God's word come alive to guide us and empower us. That's why our scripture for the year says this: let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. We can learn from the long distant past, 3,500 years ago and more, God's people in the Old Testament. We can learn from the example of Jesus, Paul, and the early church, the New Testament. We can learn from the Holy Spirit speaking today through scripture and spiritual gifts. And we can listen to the voice of Jesus, the Good Shepherd, who protects his flock from evil, whose sheep recognize his voice. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. My sheep will never follow that voice, Jesus says. Follow his voice. So some questions just to finish off with. Are you reading the Old Testament? Learning how to obey God over a period of time. That's where the stories are. That's where all the mistakes are. That's where you'll see things over tens, decades, hundreds, thousands of years. We can't learn what it is to follow Jesus today without looking at the Old Testament. Are you reading the New Testament? Looking at Jesus' example and those who follow him in the early church. Are you asking the Holy Spirit to make his word come alive and guide you into all truth? Some words that dropped in during the week for me that I'll share with you come from the Old Testament, come from Deuteronomy. Moses saying, I can't go into the promised land. I can't lead you there because I sinned, I disobeyed God. So I'm just telling you, before you go in, I'm reminding you of everything that has been said. Deuteronomy means second reading. So the Old Testament stuff in Exodus and so on, repeated, because God always tells us twice if we really need to hear it. He says this, these commands that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. We've heard already today that children are following their parents' example. Hallelujah. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your heart. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Chat over the kitchen table. If you have any children near you or around you in any capacity, talk to them. One of the families who came to Messy Church yesterday came because they asked to use the loo on Friday afternoon. And David said, yes, come on in, use the loo, and told them about Messy Church. So they turned up. And when we spoke to them, they had two girls, Emily and Ellie. This is Jason and Lucy. And they came in. And I said, oh, where do you live? They said, Merritt Road. I said, I know someone who used to live in Merritt Road, Paula Mayer. Oh, yes, we know Paula. We used to clean her flat for her. She loves our children. I thought, great. Paula's not very mobile now. She's up at Whiteley Court. She struggles to get around. But her witness, her love is still bearing fruit. Isn't it great? So if you've got any children anywhere near you, give these commands to them. Impress them. Talk about them. We ask the Holy Spirit to make them come alive, to guide us into all truth. Are you just focused on your freedom, or are you seeking the glory of God and wanting to save others? Are you a good example to your children, grandchildren, and those children you have influence over for what it means to follow Jesus? Finish with that final word. Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. Amen.
I've got something written here that says response. And you can only respond to something when you want to. Is that right? You don't respond to something that you don't want to. But Jesus is saying, respond to me this morning. Perhaps there are things in your life that happened years ago that you haven't asked God to forgive you for. I don't know. But I just sense that very much as Stephen was preaching this morning. Perhaps there's been things in your past that you've delved into that need to be forgiven. But that response is still the same to God. Come to him and say, sorry. The word of God says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive. Only God knows you through and through. And he's not there with a big cane saying, I saw you do that and I saw you do that. He's saying, no, bring it to me, bring it to the cross, confess it and let it go. I don't know why I'm saying that, but I just have a real sense there's something in the past for someone that they need to ask the Lord for forgiveness. So let's just bow our heads and be quiet for a few moments. And if that's you, just talk to the Lord in your mind and ask him for that forgiveness that you need. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you call us to come to you and to confess whatever needs to be confessed. And Father God, I thank you that you receive us because you see Jesus on the cross, and the blood of the cross cleanses us from all sin. So we thank you, Father God, for that assurance that when we come and say sorry and repent, you receive that and it's forgiven. So we thank you, Lord, for your forgiveness. And we thank you, Father God, that we can come to you and that you want to bless us and encourage us and help us in living every day. So, Father, again, praise your holy name. Thank you, Lord, that we don't have to stand there and feel, oh, I've done that. And God, you forgive. You are faithful because you are God. Thank you, Father. Amen. And from that, I think we've got time to do the worship songs, very short ones. And the first one you know very well, Thank You for Saving Me. The second one, By Your Side. The last one, Give Thanks with a Grateful Heart. You know them all. Sing them from the heart. Thank you. Bless you.
Thank you.
going to pray in a moment. We will not do the last hymn because I feel that one we've just sung is the one to finish on. And then I'll say the grace. Let's just be quiet for a few moments and then I will pray. Father God, we thank you that we can give thanks to a God who is alive, to a God who is within us. It's a mystery, but we know it's true. So, Father God, in all that we've heard this morning and all that we've shared, help us, Lord, to retain that and take it with us as we go through this week. And we thank you, Father God, that you're with us every moment of every day. And we praise you and worship you for that, Lord. And we say thank you. Amen. Have the children got any pictures for us to see?
If you've got some to show, bring any it up pictures? Now so we can be encouraged by your example. If you've got something.
Any pictures? Come on. I can't come down there because I've got a poorly leg. So you come and show them to me.
It's a bold move. Bold move.
Come on.
Give them a round of applause as they come.
I want to see. Ooh, look. There you go. If you stand on there, that's lovely. Face the front. That's right. And you do the same. You do the same. What, start from this end then? That's jolly good. Right, now, have you got strong arms, Stephen? Have they got strong arms?
Yes, I think they might have strong
arms. Lift them up so people can see. Oh, wonderful. I'll hold your arms. Jolly good.
Wow. Can I just read some of the things?
Yes, please do.
Jesus died for us. He teaches us. He loves and helps us. Gave birth to us. He loves. He's the head of our family. He teaches us the Bible, the Word of God. And that means I'll help others. I'll help others learn. I will love my family. I will take care of my family. I will teach them about God and Jesus.
Amen.
Wow.
Well done.
Oh, I love this one. Mum and Dad help others. And this says, are you okay? Have you done that in the playground, children? Or have you done that, adults? Are you okay? Oh, that's wonderful. And this says, oh, this is nose. Jesus, and we've got Jesus, the teacher, Dad, and Mum. And here, me, Noah. So that's great. Do you want to say?
God, Jesus, Mom, and parents, and me.
Thank you. And I can see God's word is here. Excellent. And you? Do you want to say? So I'll say for you. What? I don't know your name.
Irie.
Thank you, Irie. I forgive you. Thank you. That's the example. And so Irie says, I forgive you. Thank you. Wonderful. And these are beautiful. These are beautiful. Lots of people all helping you know what God looks like. This is a picture of the church family and the family all looking after you and helping you. And you are so blessed that we've got you here with us. Thank you so much. Round of applause.
Do you want to go and sit down? Well done. Thank you for coming up. Shall we all say the grace together? Okay, if you want to hold hands, that's fine. Whatever. Give you a chance to grab a hand. Okay? May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, evermore. Amen.